views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is October the 16th, 2017, on this Monday afternoon. I hope that you all made it through the weekend unscathed. Hope didn't any of the slave catchers grab one of your family members. As we know, a lot of people get arrested, get caught up in the system over the weekends for various reasons. So we hope that you were able to escape such an experience over the weekend. Right off the top, we're only going to be on air for an hour this afternoon, as I do need to finish up the report, which should have went out yesterday. So we have a monthly report that we send out for our media operations to those who donate, as well as our media partners. And that has been completed, but I need to finish up the newsletter that accompanies it. So that'll be going out later today. So again, I'll only be on air today for about an hour, sharing some news with you, and of course some music and a little bit of commentary. But if you have anything that you would like to bring up, bring to our attention during the next hour, give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit star to unmute yourself. Hopefully I'll see you. You can also submit a comment via our conference chat room, which is at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. If you were just listening to last night's broadcast, which of course was recorded, if you were just listening to the broadcast of Time for Awakening Radio with attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, I recommend you go check out that podcast. I don't know how far into that broadcast but it is posted as a podcast. You can find it in the archives of Time for Awakening on the Black Talk Radio Network, or you can go to timeforawakening.com. But they are our media partners, and they do post their podcast to Black Talk Radio Network. And that was a good program. I listened to pretty much all of it, and I thought it was pretty good. I thought he gave some sobering remarks in what we're facing today. Especially with this BIE, and it again, a lot of people are correctly repeating or correctly stating that so-called FBI Black Identity Extremist report is nothing but the same things that they did back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and attacking black leaders, attacking black organizations. And I've been seeing a whole lot of different sources talk about COINTELPRO, the historic illegal program that was run by J. Edgar Hoover to destroy Black Panthers, to destroy the American Indian movement, to destroy the Puerto Rican independence movement, to just thwart Black people's quest for equal justice, equal pay, everything. In other words, not being mistreated. All right, so that was a good program last night, and I do recommend, if you did not hear it, to go check it out. Also, some network-related news. We had not been posting any of the radio podcasts to our YouTube channel because we stopped using one particular service that would post those automatically after a broadcast, but that required me to broadcast on several different platforms at the same time, and it was becoming untenable. Just too many things was going wrong, too much confusion. But I have found over the weekend, I did find another tool for about a third of the cost of what we were paying for another platform, which allows us to post those podcasts to our YouTube channel with ease. I mean, it was so fast. I was like, wow, I should have been using this. But that's what I do. I try different stuff, trying to find the things that work best for what we're trying to do. That's number one, cost effective, because when you're on a tight budget, you don't have money to waste. And we certainly didn't have money to waste on that other platform. So I have found a way to get not just the podcast that you hear from the broadcast that's on Black Talk Radio, but the other stations as well who post their podcast to our network, but they don't broadcast on this particular station because they have their own station. But I will start distributing their podcast as well over our YouTube channel, because that is also a part of our monthly report. So we definitely will get that September report out today. But just want to let people know, because I know people listen to Black Talk Radio through that YouTube channel, which has been around as long as the platform, created in 2008. Black Talk Radio's YouTube channel was created in 2008, just like our platform. Of course, our platform was created first, but a lot of people do subscribe. I think we got something over 6,000 or 7,000 subscribers, over 3 million views since 2008. And they look, you know, for those podcasts to be posted to our YouTube channel. Perhaps that's just their favorite way of tuning in. Maybe they got a YouTube app or something on their smartphones. But so to those who have been looking for those, I will start posting those on a regular basis as they are posted. This tool is really great. And to our media partners out there, I will be making a tutorial on this tool, and I'm coming up with a newsletter that's just for podcasters and radio hosts who are clients of ours, and we'll be sending that out to let them know about this new tool. So, yeah. Now, I do have a couple of stories that I want to share with you today. Greetings to Otis, who's giving us a shout-out in the chat room. Again, you can chat with us on uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. But again, we'll only be on air for about an hour today, so I'm going to go through some of these stories. I found this article. It was posted by Ross, who is a member of our BTR community, btrcommunity.com, which is a social media platform set up for Black Talk Radio Network. And he posted an article that caught my eye. Talking about cannabis research is booming with the backing of commercial growers. This one person, this one researcher says he's shamelessly taking advantage of the cannabis industry sector's investment. So let me read a little bit from this article that comes to you from the Canadian Press. It's found at cbc.ca. Because what I learned from this article is that the cannabis industry is starting to really pick up in Canada, and the United States is playing games. And because, again, they don't want to legalize cannabis, primarily because that's the number one way that they obtain slaves for the system, is by keeping it illegal. And I don't have time today to go through that whole history of the drug war, what Richard Nixon said, even going decades before Nixon. How cannabis was targeted, and they tried to associate it with quote unquote minorities or non-white people, whether you're talking about black jazz players or you're talking about Mexican immigrants. They demonized the plant by attaching it to non-white people. And so long history of suppression of this wonderful herb that the creator has given us, that treats so many ailments, that you can produce so many products from. And it's just all political is the reason that it is illegal. But let me get into this article. It says the budding cannabis industry is spurring new research around cannabis that will have long-term effects on a variety of fields from farming to new medicine as companies look for solid scientific data on the substance. With the looming legalization of recreational pot next summer, again, we're talking about Canada, this is nationwide, and the expansion of licensed medical cannabis producers, scientists at the University of Guelph, I guess that's how you pronounce it, Guelph, say more organizations are turning to researchers for helping, for help growing better plants. The Ontario University has a long horticulture research history, and some of its staff and students are already deep into the study of medicinal cannabis. On Friday, a team of two environmental science professors and a graduate student published a research paper, one they call the first of its kind and the first of many to come, about optimizing the growth of medicinal cannabis indoors. The study looked at the rate of organic fertilizer in soilless products holding cannabis before it flowered, in the optimization of tetrahydrocannabinol, the primary psychoactive part of cannabis and cannabis oils, which has been touted as a potential treatment for certain forms of epilepsy. Now, let me just say this. Again, you have to be careful when you're reading articles, because sometimes it's sharing opinions with you, and those opinions may not be correct. But this is a pretty long article, and I am going to post that. Let me go ahead and do that now to our Black Talk Radio Facebook page. I've already posted it to BTR Community. Let me go ahead and share that now. But this article gives you the impression that there hasn't already been a lot of credible cannabis research already done in Europe, in other places as well. And this one guy in this article, they tried to make it seem like there's no credible research out there, and so we got to start from scratch. And they could just be saying that because they want some money to research it and what have you. So let me go ahead and cue that up to share to our social media accounts. And that's just simply not true what this guy is saying. But he is saying that it can lead to breakthroughs. All of this research and this money that is being poured into research by the cannabis industry, because in some states and other places around the world, it is legal and they are making a lot of money. And so they want to research all the different aspects of that plant and maximize what they can get out of that plant. So, but like this one person said, that this research can lead to breakthroughs in other areas, like growing food, like creating alternative medicines, that aren't having all the side effects that you see with some of these pharmaceutical drugs coming from Big Pharma and what have you. So I thought that was a pretty interesting article. Again, I do need to get in touch with that doctor that I took the class or the workshop at Chronic 2017 last month in September. And he said that in the United States, because of what the UN is going to do, they're going to have no choice but to legalize it recreationally. And I'm talking about the federal government. It's going to have to stop criminalizing cannabis, and they just going to have to find something else to make slaves of people over. Now, another article, and this comes to you from QZ.com. It says that legal weed is an amazing business opportunity for women. Now, as I read this article, this woman, she said her name is Jane West, and she's a former corporate event planner from the suburbs of Denver, Colorado. And she founded a pot party planning company called Edible Events in 2014. And she believes women should be flooding the legal weed business before men lock it down. And this is a white woman, of course, but I can't help but be reminded of white privilege and why these white women like to talk about how, and I'm not saying they don't have a legitimate grievance with males in this society, primarily white males, because black males ain't controlling nothing, okay, in this country. We barely have control of ourselves because so many of us have been through that system of slavery. But this stinks of white privilege to me because, again, they've been locking up black people. We have Richard Nixon's former chief of staff stating that they started the drug war and criminalized cannabis simply to target black people and to target anti-war protesters during the Vietnam War and what have you. And they, because of racism in employment, because of once you get that felony slave brand in your jacket or on your record, your employment opportunities are slim to none. And then because of how they've cut the social safety net, a lot of young black males or black males, period, and I will even say black females, have turned to the street market to sell cannabis in order to survive economically in this country. They wasn't doing it because they were bad people or anything like that. They are trying to survive. And then you look at all of a sudden when they start legalizing either medicinal and recreational cannabis in this country, and look who's running it, white males, because they have access to the capital to invest millions of dollars and what have you into this industry. And so here comes this white female saying, hey, women ought to be flooding this market before it get locked down by males and what have you. So I'm just saying to any black feminists out there, you black, you should be black first and woman second. And again, I don't even like the label feminist or whatnot. Am I a feminist simply because I want my daughters to get equal pay on the job? Am I a feminist because I want my daughters to be free of sexism, sexual harassment, or anything? Am I a feminist simply because I want my daughters to have the same opportunities that males in this society have? I would say no, that does not make me a feminist. I would say that makes me a person who believes in practicing justice. Okay? And so again, I know that we have labels, we have terms for a reason. Some of those reasons are valid as we want to identify, you know, certain things, certain types of people, just to give you a broader perspective and what have you. But anything I feel like that drives a wedge between people in our community, I'm not down with it. So I would say to this that black people, black men and women, should be working together to get a foothold in this industry, because it's the future. I'm telling you, it's the future. But because, we live in a system practicing slavery and using the tool of racism and white supremacy to deny people equal opportunity, it's just very unlikely that we will have black people who are making major moves in this. I know that Snoop Doggy Dogg, I forget his real name, Snoop Doggy Dogg, and we'll see some of these other rappers on some of these cannabis products or cannabis related products like blunts and stuff like that. We'll see their faces and they'll be the front men for these companies. But for the most part, they don't own these companies. They just licensing their image and their brand and lending it to a product for a fee. So I don't know how seriously black farmers are looking into this. I just simply don't know. But the tea leaves, or we should say the cannabis leaves, you know, are telling us something. And it's telling us that you have a multi-billion dollar industry that's being set up right now, and a lot of people are getting shut out. So that article kind of caught my eye, but I'm not really interested in it because it's coming from a feminist perspective, and I'm just not into feminism. I'm into justice. Okay. All right. So let me see. Another story. I'll tell you what, we're going to take our first station identification break, kick some message music, come back on the other side, and we'll jump into a couple of more stories. We got this guy, Mad Dog Duarte, out there in the Philippines, who keeps admitting that he's engaged in mass murder against people that they have labeled drug addicts or drug dealers, and been dragging people out the street and shooting them in the head by the thousands, women, men, children. It's truly disgusting. And I know that this is a very sensitive spot for Filipinos because they suffering, a lot of them suffer from low self-esteem. And Duarte's a tough-talking little short man. And he makes them feel empowered. And they just do not see, apparently some of them, especially those who like to leave little nasty comments on our YouTube videos about the subject, they just don't seem to think it's anything wrong with extrajudicial killings of their own citizens. And tell you, this is how genocide gets started, man. And I heard that Donald Trump is going to be meeting with him next month. And let's not forget, Donald Trump told him that he was doing a great job murdering all those drug addicts and what have you. But, you know, when it comes to the opioid epidemic here in the United States, which is primarily affecting these white people, he has a little bit more heart for them, and he feels a little bit more humane in the policies that they want to direct towards them. He ain't telling them that, hey, all of this Narcan and this drug that we're sending out, giving to these first responders to save your life, y'all throwing our budget out of whack. No, he ain't saying that to them. All right, so a couple more stories on the other side. Again, if you have anything you want to share, we're only going to be on air for an hour, so get it in quick. But that number is 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Hit ** to unmute yourself, and I will see you on the board. All right, so stay tuned. We'll be back.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Normally, I am on air with this program Monday through Friday from 12 noon Eastern up until 2 o'clock p.m. We are only going up to 1 o'clock p.m. today, as I do have some administrative work that I need to finish up, and we are kind of late getting this report out because of some unforeseen circumstances, but definitely the report itself has been done and just need to work on a newsletter so we can get that out to all those who support the work of Black Talk Media Project and our media partners. Had some pretty strong numbers for podcast downloads in the month of September. Also, real quick, I got some feedback on a weekly newsletter that I put out a couple of weeks ago. It might have been the one from last week, but a longtime listener sent me some feedback on that, and they were saying that, yeah, black people do need to wake up to what's being done in the podcasting industry, in this new media industry, as more and more black people, millions, tune in to internet radio, and they're tuning out from terrestrial radio. And there is a great business opportunity. Again, you don't have to be a nonprofit organization like we are. We didn't go into this with the ideal that we were going to become multimillionaires. No, we just wanted to inform people 8 years ago of this technology, that you don't have to be stuck on somebody else's platform who will try to control your voices and what have you. And this is the wave of the future. I identified this 8 years ago. And this person said, you know, like a lot of black business owners, you should be into podcasting. You should. That's like a long commercial. And a podcast doesn't have to be an hour long. There's no set time limit on podcasts. Some podcasts that I put out are only 4 or 5 minutes long. The one that I do, the weekly commentary for Tanya Free and Friends, is only 2 minutes. And so black people, we need to be taking advantage of the areas that we can take advantage of. If you're looking to reach a black audience, they're turning to new media. And quite frequently, they are tuning in to Black Talk Radio and coming to Black Talk Radio Network because they want to hear what people who look like them have to say. And so we only have, I think, only one program on our network that focuses on businesses, and that's Blacks in Business Radio. And I'm sure Sister CC and Brother Robert can tell you how them doing a radio broadcast here on Black Talk Radio, which also has a podcast after the live program is over, that they've been able to do a lot of networking by putting out these podcasts and what have you. So definitely want to acknowledge the person who sent me that feedback on the Black Talk Radio weekly newsletter that was dealing with the growth of digital media, especially among what they call minorities, non-white people here in the United States. All right, next story I want to focus on, because I, like Malcolm X, believe that Martin Luther King Jr., that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And when I hear people say that they're going to start slaughtering black people in the United States and things of that nature, I don't really give a whole lot of thought to that and energy to that. But keeping in the back of my mind, anything is possible. If you look at the history of man, that man is capable of great immoral acts. And it happened in Germany. It happened in Africa. It happened in Asia. We've just seen history that shows that man can be very cruel to other human beings. And it can happen no matter where you are. And so you should be preparing for the worst. I never say don't prepare. That's why we brought Tando on. But at the same time, I don't put a whole lot of stock into people who make these outlandish statements, and they don't have any proof whatsoever. And, you know, that just speaks to a person's credibility and what have you. But the Philippines is an example of when the world just stands by while you got a madman. In this case, we got President Rodrigo Duterte, a madman who is committing mass murder of his own people. Again, if he want to play like he's so moral, and people who use any type of drug or sell drugs because they can't find jobs, if they so evil, you know, and you so moral, then why are you not going after all these Europeans that come to the Philippines and exploit y'all women and boys and having sex with them, engaged in all kind of depravity and what? I don't see them dragging them people out in the street and shooting them in the head for engaging in immoral activity, taking advantage of those poor people and just doing all kind of perverse things to their children, to their daughters, to their sons. So I don't want to hear anybody talk about this is a moral man. No, you don't get to kill people for nonviolent, victimless, so-called crimes simply because you want money. Or I don't know what his deal is, but let me read to you from this article from Reuters. It says that President Rodrigo Duterte said on Thursday he hoped a shift to target big networks in his war on drugs would satisfy bleeding hearts and interfering Western states fixated on the high death toll in his brutal crackdown. Again, he been going after poor people in the street, even little kids, man. So again, when you live in a country that is very, very poor, and they say the United States is rich, but certain segments of the population live in extreme poverty, you know, people are going to do whatever they need to do to survive. All right. And it's not a question of morality. It's a question of survivability. And so, you know, he's been just pulling out these people accused of petty drug dealing or maybe using some drugs and just dragging them in the street and shooting them and having police do it, having vigilantes do it. I mean, just total lawlessness in that country. They have a constitution. They have courts. They're supposed to charge people. If you're going to say somebody violated the law, I don't think that they have on the books there, if you're smoking weed, the death penalty. I just get to shoot you in the head, but that's what's going on over there. So in a televised speech, Duarte read a memorandum that removes police from the drug war and places the Philippine Drug Enforcement Agency. Why people want to copy the United States? I don't understand that. Then launched a curse-laden tirade at foreign critics of a campaign that has killed thousands of Filipinos. Duarte appeared to target some European parliamentarians among a group called the Progressive Alliance, which on Monday said it was extremely alarmed by the drug war and warned the Philippines risk losing trade privileges because of unchecked abuses by police during his signature campaign. He says, I'm not interested anymore in using any other agency. Just let PDEA do it, he said. They seem to want it. I want, as a last word, maybe this word suffice for the stupid European Union guys. They were all focused on how many deaths. So this is a madman. This is a mass murderer who didn't just start doing this. He was doing this when he was mayor of a little Filipino town. And you know, an article came out over the weekend talking about the mental health of Donald Trump and saying that this man is not fit to be in a position of power like he is in, given that he has access to these nuclear codes and commanding, you know, the military. And he's reckless. He is just not fit. I would say the same thing about this dude. This guy, in my opinion, is even more unstable than Donald Trump. When Barack Obama said that, hey, we're not going to send y'all all those rifles that we were going to send, millions of dollars worth of weapons that we were going to send you, because you're murdering people in the street. You just keep dragging people out their house with no charge, no trial, and no conviction, and you're just murdering them. And what did he do? He called Barack Obama the son of a whore. This dude is off his rocker, man. This dude, man. And I mean, I know Barack Obama. I'm not trying to be a hypocrite here, because skin color don't mean nothing to me when it comes to practicing justice. And I know Barack Obama, his administration has committed mass murder, but I guess he was like, hey, this is just taking it too far. You just dragging people out in the street and shooting them in the head by the thousands. Women, children, come on. So he's saying that he's going to, I guess, cut down on the deaths by only allowing the DEA, the Filipino DEA, to murder people. Wow. This is where your U.S. tax dollars are going. And that's why I think that some of these misguided, low self-esteem Filipinos who make all these derogatory comments towards me on whenever I do a segment on this, you know, hey, it's not my sisters and brothers that's getting dragged out in the street and shot in the head. And I just don't understand how anybody can go along with something like that. I guess it's just not in me to be a mass murderer or to condone mass murder. But again, if we look at the history of Germany and the German people, when the Nazis started targeting communists, started targeting trade unionists, started targeting the mentally and physically handicapped, started targeting the LGBT people, started targeting Afro-Germans, hey, a lot of those Germans was going along, right along with it. Didn't do anything, didn't say anything. And before you know it, almost estimated 11 million people murdered in less than 4 years. So I imagine it probably started off just like how what we see going on in the Philippines right now. It's very disgusting. And what's more disgusting is that Donald Trump backed this dude and gave him a call and told him what a great job he was doing in murdering people. And I have no doubt in my mind that if Donald Trump was able to, he would do something similar in this country. Whether we're talking about immigrants south of the border, whether we're talking about black and brown people, they would round us up and be murdering us just like we see going on in the Philippines. But again, if you're saying you don't care because that's them and that's not us, hey, like Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And they're using American dollars, your tax dollars, to commit mass murder. And that's why they get mad at me when I point that out. So I tell you, man, this is a wicked world that we live in. And it's just sad to see this stuff happening like this. You think that man had the ability to learn by studying history so they don't repeat the same mistakes. But the evidence does not suggest that to be the case. So Donald Trump is supposed to be meeting with Duterte. I think has he flown over there and met with him yet? I don't think so. No, he was supposed to meet with him in November. So that's next month, at the tail end of a trip to Asia where Duterte is hosting the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Conference in Manila. The trip will be Trump's first to the region as president and will celebrate the 40th anniversary of U.S.-ASEAN relations, the White House said. The president's travel will underscore his commitment to longstanding U.S. alliances and partnerships and reaffirm United States leadership in promoting a free and open Indo-Pacific region, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders announced in a statement Monday. The White House in April had extended an invite for the president of the Philippines to visit Washington and visit Trump, a move that drew criticism over Duterte's human rights violations. They're not alleged. When sometimes we use these words alleged, no, there's evidence he's admitted to murdering these people. Trump in April offered praise for Duterte's brutal crackdown on drug trafficking, which has resulted in the deaths of thousands of people and prompted concerns from the international community. During the exchange, according to a leaked transcript of a conversation between the two world leaders, Trump praised Duterte for an unbelievable job on the drug problem in the Philippines. Trump has also raised eyebrows with his warm words for other strong men. So again, if you were in the Philippines right now, y'all know or should know, if you pay attention to international news and the news coming out of the United States, that it's in the midst of a opioid epidemic like it's never seen before. You got people dropping like flies in the United States behind heroin use and whatnot. And it's predominantly white people. Do you see them rounding up white people, dragging them out the house and shooting them in the head for selling drugs or using drugs? No, they're spending who knows how much money. It started under the Obama administration and it has continued under Trump. Who knows how many millions on these drugs to save the lives of people who OD on heroin. I read some stories where, you know, it's the same people over and over who are ODing on these drugs. And then, you know, they just call the EMTs and they come out and they give them a shot of whatever that drug is that helps them recover. And then a lot of times they don't even go to jail. Now, again, I'm not for locking up drug addicts. I think they should get help. But I don't think that you should enslave anyone because they doing something stupid and dumb. We do a lot of stupid and dumb things. But my point is that whenever something primarily affects white people, there's a lot of compassion. There's a lot of humanity expressed towards them. But when it comes to non-white people in these things, well, in the United States, while the victims of 21st century slavery are very diverse, the primary victims are black people. Primary victims are black people. Okay? And we make up the world's largest prison population on the planet. So Trump is praising your president, and he's killing, because he's killing non-white people. He's killing Filipinos, and Trump has no empathy for non-white people. And it's pretty sad when people don't even have empathy for other people who look like them. Just pretty damn sad state of affairs. Sick. It's very sick. And don't think that this can't happen in the United States. Now, I don't believe that they will go on a genocidal rampage like Duarte is doing, because they don't want to kill off their slave labor. You don't kill off your free labor. You don't kill off that what you're making great profit from. Okay, you don't do that, but they will continue to enslave us. So, anyway, I need to take another station identification break. We're going to kick some message music. Got about 15 minutes left in today's broadcast. Again, apologies, but I need to shorten it up so I can take care of some administrative duties that have to do with Black Talk Radio. All right, so we'll take this station identification break, kick some music, come back, and wrap it up with a couple of more stories. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News on the Black Talk Radio Network. In 2008, the Black Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform, Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News as we get ready to wrap up this hour. Again, only going to be on air for an hour today, so we're getting ready to wrap it up. Need to take care of some things related to our statistical report from September, so that'll be coming out today. But I had this very, very sad story, and I used to raise money, although it wasn't like I was doing it for free, so let me put that out there. But one of the jobs I used to have a while back, I used to work as a, what would you call that? I used to work in a call center for this thrift store. And in this thrift store, it was in this thrift store in Charlotte. All people would donate clothes, furniture, appliances, whatever. And then they would resell the stuff. Everybody know what a thrift store is. But a portion of the proceeds went to the National Kidney Foundation. And that is, you know, one of the things we would point out when we would call these people and ask them if they had any items to donate to the thrift store on behalf of the National Kidney Foundation and what have you. So I've come across this story today related to the National Kidney Foundation. And you have this hospital that is denying a 2-year-old boy in Georgia, saying he can't get the kidney because his father violated his probation. See what I'm saying? This is slavery in the United States. This is crazy. This is heartless. This is inhumane. So you're going to punish a 2-year-old child that was born without kidneys. His father is a match. And because his father violated some probation, you're not going to do the operation. This boy could die. This is like a death sentence. Let me read this article from nydailynews.com. A 2-year-old Georgia boy can't get the kidney he needs because his father violated his probation. AJ Burgess was born a month early and without kidneys. Atlanta-based CBS station WGCL reported his father, Anthony Dickerson, was a perfect match to donate one of his kidneys. But after Dickerson served time in prison for violating probation, Emory Hospital in Atlanta reportedly refused to perform the surgery. Dickerson was prepared to donate his kidney in early October after being released from prison, but he returned to jail due to a parole violation for possessing a firearm during the commission of or attempt to commit certain felonies, WGCL reports. Emory Hospital told the family that Dickerson had to be on good behavior for 3 to 4 months before he could donate his kidney, and that they will have to reevaluate him in 2018, according to the report. Look, I'm going to stop it right there. This is absurd. Now, I don't know if this man did what they said he did, and even if he did violate his probation, committed a crime, had a gun, whatever. What does his good behavior have to do with saving this child's life? This, in my opinion, is a violation of the Hippocratic Oath that doctors take to do no harm by refusing to do the organ transplant. They are doing harm. This 2-year-old boy ain't committed no crime. This 2-year-old boy shouldn't have to suffer because of, if we want to accept what they said about his father, the knucklehead activities that his father has engaged in. Again, I don't know if he did or didn't, but if he did, this is a very poor excuse to refuse to do the operation. And then to say, we gonna revisit this in 2018. This boy don't have no kidneys. This 2-year-old boy doesn't have any kidneys. Let's see, transplant. Let me read a little bit. The hospital could not comment on specific patient cases, but Janet Christenberry, director of media relations, told the Daily News that guidelines for organ transplantation are meant to maximize the chance of success for organ recipients and minimize the risk for living donors. What does that have to do with them refusing to take the kidney from the father that's a perfect match for his 2-year-old son? What does that have to do with the chance of success for the organ? Again, if he's in prison or he got out of prison, what if he contracts hepatitis C or A or whatever, because we know hepatitis C is an epidemic in the prisons. Then what? You wouldn't be able to use his kidney. This is a bunch of garbage. Transplant decisions regarding donors are made based on many medical, social, and psychological factors, she said. AJ's mother, Carmilla, worries that waiting until 2018 may be too late for her young son. She told CBS News that AJ needs bladder surgery and his body is failing. Wow. This is a very disgusting, heartless story. Let me see if I can pull this up.
Neurobot.
Give me just a second. I want to play an ad, but I want you to hear from the family. So let's pull that up.
Is on hold for a 2-year-old boy. His mom says it's because of red tape.
All right, come on. Let me open it up in another window. Open this video up that's on YouTube. See if I can get it to play.
Because of red tape between the hospital and police. She's fighting to change that. Her son has no kidneys. AJ does have a willing donor who's a perfect match, yet he is left waiting. 11 Alive reporter Naima Abdullahi talked with the family.
AJ is like any other two-year-old.
Mama!
Chatty and playful. And now his family is on a mission to save his life. AJ was born without both kidneys, and they recently found out his dad, Anthony Dickerson, is a perfect match.
That's all I ever wanted was a son. And I finally got him, and he in this situation.
Anthony was scheduled to donate his left kidney to AJ, their miracle baby. And the mom, Carmilla Burchess, was excited.
We was two steps closer to giving him a kidney, and then we got shut down, basically.
Things started to go downhill when Dickerson was arrested for violating his probation last month, charged with possession of a firearm. Here's a letter he says Emory sent to the Gwinnett County Jail. It states, quote, Mr. Dickerson is currently in custody for a parole violation. If Mr. Dickerson could be escorted to Emory for blood work and a preoperative appointment tomorrow, September 29, we will be able to continue with the scheduled surgery. End quote. Dickerson said the tone changed once he was released from jail. Quote, the living donor transplant team at Emory has asked Mr. Dickerson for evidence of compliance from his parole officer for the next 3 months. We will reevaluate Mr. Dickerson in January 2018 after receipt of his completed documentation. End quote. The family says a probation violation shouldn't stop the process, especially since Dickerson is healthy and drug free.
It's about my son. He's been through a lot, and it's like we've been waiting on this. And dad making a mistake shouldn't affect what he wants to do with our son.
We reached out to the hospital, and Emory Healthcare says they can't answer specific questions because of patient confidentiality. We asked a general question about how someone being arrested impacts the possibility of them donating a kidney, and they would not answer. Dickerson doesn't want his arrest record to impact his son's chance of living a healthy and normal life.
I'm going to leave it there as I do need to close out the program. But this is very disgusting, very disgusting, very disgusting. Trying not to cuss. So probation violation because you've been in jail. You out of jail now. Oh, we can't do the transplant. We know the little boy may die, but hey, that's how it go in a system not practicing justice in a system that's practicing slavery. This is truly disgusting. All right, I'm gonna leave it there. You've been listening to Black Talk Radio News. I'll be back on air for the full 2 hours tomorrow on Tuesday, but coming up later today, I don't see that Tendo Radio Show has posted anything in terms of doing a radio program. If so, that'll be posted later, so just keep a watch out. For those who listen to that program, comes on 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on Black Talk Radio Network. But Melanated Roots will be on tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time for a live broadcast. They will be talking about perpetual bankruptcy and fiat currency, tools for domination and control. So that's Melanated Roots on Black Talk Radio Network tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. All right. Recognize the fact that we live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., where they practice slavery and human trafficking by way of the 13th Amendment, where they sentence little 2-year-old boys to death sentences if their father has a felony slave status in his record and what have you. So this is a very sick place, and the only way it's going to get healthy is that we all come together and we deal with the real and deal with the real fact that slavery was never abolished, and we have to move past just treating symptoms, and we have to get to the root cause of the disease, and that's slavery. All right, y'all be safe out there. Until tomorrow, peace and blessings to all. Peace. Hello, this is Scotty Reed, and thank you for listening to this podcast and sharing it with others. Please consider making a donation to the U.S.-based nonprofit media organization, Black Talk Media Project, in support of its efforts to elevate independent black voices. You can also support the work by joining the network's social media community, BTR Community, for just $24 a year. Black Talk Media Project is leading the way in the production of grassroots black media.